For our scripture reading, we turn to the well-known passage of Luke chapter 2 that records for us the history of Jesus' birth. Luke chapter 2. And the text is verses 10 and 11. The good news that the angel announced to the shepherds who were in the fields. We read the first 20 verses, Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So far we read God's holy and infallible word. The text is verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ, what we celebrate and what we commemorate on this Christmas morning is reason for joy. It is reason for great joy. In fact, it is the reason for the greatest joy. This is not the joy of presents under the Christmas tree. This is not the joy of eating and drinking merrily. This is not the joy simply of having time off of work. This is the joy of hearing the blessed news. Your Savior has come. The Savior has arrived. The Savior you so desperately need. The Savior from sin, who shall deliver you from the sorrow and misery of this sin-cursed world, has come. The promised seed of the woman for whom God's people were waiting in the Old Testament for 4,000 years has come. Shiloh is going to bring peace, has come. The Prince of Peace has come. The Dayspring from on high. The Shepherd King, about whom we heard 2 weeks ago, for whom God's people in those dark days were pining after. They needed a good shepherd. They needed a king who would rule them righteously. That Shepherd King who will deliver God's people from the hands of their oppressors and who will shower down blessings of salvation has come. The one who will take your place under the curse of God. The one who will be born under the law. Who will bear your sins on the accursed tree. And who will make the full covering, the full payment through His atoning death on the cross. The one who delivers from the power of sin and death. Who frees us from its shackles. The one who makes us heirs of everlasting life and glory and fellowship with God. Who takes us out of the darkness of hell and brings us into the light of God's glory, has come. He's come, beloved. He's come. And that is reason for great joy. In the midst of all the clamor that surrounds us in this world, do you know that joy on this Christmas morning? Do you know that joy? Well, the world has its own joy, what it calls joy. Has its own earthly pleasures that are fleeting and lasting but a moment. The joy even of silencing the gospel with talk of Santa and Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph and other meaningless and ultimately joyless frivol. The world has its so-called joy, which ultimately is no true joy at all. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have true joy. The joy of salvation in Jesus Christ. Do we know the joy of Christmas? Let us go to Bethlehem this morning. As we sit under the preaching, may the Lord cause us to see and to know and experience once again the glorious joy of Christmas. We take as our theme the announcement of the Christmas gospel. The announcement of the Christmas gospel. First, we look at a fearful appearance. Second, a glorious gospel. And third, a great joy. We can start with verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Until you hear the news, that's the reality. You are sore afraid. There they were, shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem, watching their flocks by night. The shepherds were from the lowest class of society. They were at the bottom of the social order. They were poor. They lived a hard life, looked down upon and avoided because they stank. They lived with their sheep. They slept with their sheep. Shepherds were often made up of the uneducated. And how doesn't this fit with how God does things? God chooses the things that are lowly and ignoble and poor and despised so that no flesh should glory in His presence. And here they were, shepherds, lowly shepherds, watching their flocks by night under the clear starlit sky. But we should also point out about these shepherds that they were believers, like you and me. These shepherds were waiting for the consolation of Israel. They were waiting for the promised seed of the woman. They were waiting for that shepherd king to come. That they were believers is obvious from the whole account. It's obvious from the fact that they were the ones whom God had chosen to hear the news of the birth of God's Son. They were the ones, it's obvious from the very words of the angel, unto you is good tidings. And it's obvious also from the joy that they have receiving the news. They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. Here they were, shepherds, watching their flocks by night. And suddenly, we read, suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared before them. In the darkness of the night, the angel of the Lord suddenly shone before them. And I personally haven't seen an angel. I personally haven't seen the glory of the Lord radiating forth from an angel, but that's exactly what we read in this passage. The angel of the Lord appeared before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Think about it. The angels are the creatures of God who stand before His presence in heavenly glory. And now, just remember what we read about Moses when we looked at Exodus 32 through 34. What happened to Moses on Mount Sinai when God only momentarily passed before him in the cleft of the rock and showed the back parts of his glory. You know what happened. Moses' face lit up. And when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, his face was so bright the people could not steadfastly look into his face. And the people even wanted him to wear a veil over his face because his face was radiating with the glory of God. And now here comes an angel who lives before the presence of God. And he's not just filled with glory shining forth from his face. He's an angel shining forth with the glory of God throughout his whole presence. Radiating forth with the glory of God, a blinding heavenly light. And we read that the glory of the Lord shone round about these shepherds. And maybe now you can understand these shepherds were sore afraid. But now think about this too. Remember what the glory of the Lord is. We looked at that in our series on Moses as well. It's not just a bright light shining forth from the presence of the angel. No, the glory of the Lord is more. The glory of the Lord is the radiating forth of the pure beauty of God's virtues themselves. The glory of the Lord is the outshining, the radiating forth of the very being, the essence of God. The glory of the Lord is the radiating forth of God's own righteousness and holiness and perfect goodness and justice. Remember when the Lord passed by Moses? Show me thy glory, Lord said. I will show you my glory. And he passed by, and what did he say? The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and will by no means clear the guilty. That's the glory of the Lord. And now we read in this passage in Luke chapter 2 that somehow when the angel appeared to the shepherds, the heavenly light that shone in the darkness was vibrant with the glory of the Lord. The mercy and the goodness and the long-suffering. The brightness of the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. And now perhaps you can understand why these shepherds were afraid. In fact, we read that they were sore afraid. They were filled with great fear. Not just because they had seen an angel. That too, for the Old Testament people of God. Remember when Manoah saw an angel, or Gideon? We're going to die. We've seen the angel. Well, that was the pre-incarnate Christ, but it's the same idea. They had seen the glory of the Lord. And what we should know about the glory of the Lord is that it's not just the shining forth of His attributes, but it's as a bright light that exposes sin for what it is. That too is part of the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is a glory that flashes forth also with holy anger and righteous indignation towards sin. It's a glory that, like a bright spotlight, exposes the deep, dark recesses of our sinfulness. Isn't that exactly what happened to the prophet Isaiah when the prophet Isaiah himself received a vision of the glory of the Lord? He saw the glory of the Lord, and what did Isaiah cry out? Woe is me, for I am undone. Because what was the first thing that came to his mind? For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah was immediately brought to see who he was as a sinner. It was a similar experience that these shepherds must have experienced here in Luke 2. They were afraid. Not just because they were poor, lowly shepherds, and here was a reverent being, but because they were sinners. And when you stand before the glory of the Lord as a sinner, the glory of the Lord judges you. The glory of the Lord lays you bare before the sight of God in such a way that you yourself become deeply conscious of your sinfulness before Him. When you get a glimpse of the glory of the Lord causes you to feel like an open book before the Lord, so that all that you are, all your sins and your corruption, is seen in plain sight by the Lord. And what do your sins cry out for? They cry out for your condemnation. You're a sinner, a guilty sinner, a shameful sinner. And standing before the glory of the Lord, you come to the personal conviction that you deserve to be condemned for your sins. You deserve the judgment of God to fall upon you. That's what these shepherds were experiencing. And so we read that these shepherds were sore afraid. Would you not have been sore afraid also, beloved? Yes, you would have been sore afraid. Because you know who you are as a sinner. The Lord has shined in your heart and caused you to see who you are as a sinner. You know that by nature there is nothing good that dwells in you. Left to yourself, you hate God. At enmity, you are against God. And that in and of yourself, you love the darkness. And when the light of God's glory shines upon you, you are exposed. One who is full of shameful sins, disgusting pride, bitterness, resentment, selfishness, lustful thoughts, even on Christmas morning. This is the reality, beloved. Even on Christmas morning, this is who we are by nature. You are one, I am one who is just like the whole town of Bethlehem. There's no room for the Savior in my heart, except He Himself first makes room in my heart. I am one who by nature yearns to sin. I hate God's authority. I would rather be God instead of God Himself. I am one who is full of proud idolatry. No different than King Herod, who when he heard about the birth of the newborn king, determined in his heart to kill him. And just like in the Garden of Eden, when Adam, after he sinned, tried to hide himself from God's presence, so you and I in fear would also try to hide ourselves from the presence of the Lord. But you see, when the glory of the Lord is shining all around you, and it's shining in all the cracks and crevices of your sinful life, and it shows you for what you are, as the glory of the Lord is shining here in Luke chapter 2, you see, there's no place to hide anymore. And that's reason for fear, reason for great fear. There is only a certain looking forward to of judgment. This was a fearful appearance. But beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, praise be to the Lord. That's not why the angel appeared before these shepherds in the middle of the night. The angel did not appear to these shepherds to bring them a word of condemnation, a word of judgment for their sins. Oh no. But the angel of the Lord came to bring them good tidings. Good tidings of great joy, to bring them the gospel announcement. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not. You are fearful. Don't fear. Don't fear. For behold, I bring you good tidings. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you, sinner, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Good tidings, not evil tidings. For you, lowly shepherds, sinners that you are, people of God who possess sinful secrets that you don't want anyone else to know about, I have good news for you. Instead of news that brings fear, this is news that brings joy. Unto you, a Savior has come. A Savior is born. It's exactly what we need, isn't it? I need someone to save me. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me? Who shall save me from the body of this death? I need a Savior. The good news on Christmas morning is this. A Savior has come. The Savior has been born. What is a Savior? What kind of Savior is this? Well, a Savior is one who is able to deliver us from the greatest evil. In the end, the Savior is one who delivers us from all evil, from all misery. A Savior is not just one who delivers from poverty. He is not just one who delivers people from cancer. But a Savior is one who delivers His people from everything that we've just been talking about. From the condemning word of sin. From the damnation we deserve because of our wickedness. Our guilt, our sin and our shame, our hatred and enmity against the Most High God, our darkness and foolishness, that's our misery, being under the power of the devil. And this is what lies at the root of all our misery, the great reality of sin. In order to be saved at all, we need to be saved from sin. It's sin that accuses us before the face of God. It is sin that condemns us and makes us worthy of condemnation. It's sin that keeps us in bondage to sin so that we live in sin. It's sin that causes us to love the lie, believe the lie, walk in the path that leads to destruction. And a Savior is one who delivers from all these things. And in addition, a Savior is not just one who delivers from all these evils, but a Savior is also one who brings to the highest glory, makes us partakers of the highest good. And what is the highest good? The highest good is peace with your Maker, peace with God. The highest good is life with God, tasting and seeing His goodness, being cleansed from sin and being clothed with eternal righteousness, to be delivered from the power of the devil and instead be made subjects of Him who purchased us with His shed blood. The highest good is righteousness and holiness and love and life and eternal glory. The highest good is to know God as we are known. The highest good is to love Him as He first loved us, to see Him face to face. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. The highest good is to be made an heir of the kingdom of heaven. And don't you see, congregation, that's the news that comes to you on Christmas morning. Unto you is born a Savior who's going to make you an heir. Of the kingdom of heaven. One is born who will do all of these things and do all these things for you, who saves you from evil and from your sin, and who makes you the precious and beloved child of God. How far different that is from what the world looks for. The world looks for someone who delivers them from financial poverty. The world looks for someone who can teach you how to live a better life, how to be the best person you can be, how to be all that you can be in your short and fleeting life. But it's your sins, beloved. It's your sins that make you miserable. And unless you have a Savior, you are in bondage to sin. And this is the good news to you this Christmas morning. You have a Savior. Who is the Savior? He is Christ, the Lord. He is the Messiah, as the catechism students know. He is Christ. He is the Anointed One, our prophet, priest, and king, born in the city of David, of the royal line of the king, ordained and qualified to save his people. He's the Christ. He is God, Jehovah. Think about it. The very same one who appeared to Moses at the top of Mount Sinai, who caused Moses' own face to be radiating forth with the glory that just passed by. He who appeared to Moses is the exact same one who has now come in the flesh, was born of the Virgin Mary, and is laid in swaddling clothes in the manger. The very same one who turned the rivers of Egypt to blood, who turned the lights out in Egypt for 3 days, who sent the angel of death to slay the firstborn, who utterly destroyed the army of Pharaoh in the Red Sea, that same Almighty Jehovah God is now the one whom the shepherds are going to look at with their own eyes as a little babe in Mary's arms. The very same one who walked with Adam in the Garden of Eden. The one who created all things and for whom all things were created. He who of nothing made everything that was made, the eternal, glorious, mighty Son of God, is now born in the flesh as a little babe. Ordained from eternity by God the Father, He who is true God of true God, the eternal Word, wisdom, and image of the Father, has come. Has come to save you from your sin. He who is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. He who speaks and the mountains tremble. He who speaks and the trees of Lebanon break. He who ruled in the flood of great waters. And He has come, He has now come to take up this work of saving you from your sin. What will He do? And today in 2021 we can say, what has He done? He has borne the punishment for all our sins and all our sinfulnesses. He has made the payment. He has made satisfaction of God's justice, enduring the agonies of hell in our place. He is the one who experienced the death that was the wages of our sins. He has atoned. That's why He came. That little babe lying in a manger, this is His mission. This is who He is as the Christ, already as a babe. Come to save His people from their sins. He makes His people heirs of all the glory of righteousness and life. He clothes His people with eternal righteousness that makes them worthy of glory. He finds His people as sinners in misery, and He makes them saints, holy ones. He finds His people as His enemies, and through His work He makes them His friends. He finds His people as servants of sin, at enmity against God, and He makes His people the servants of the Most High God, the friends of God. He finds His people walking on the path that leads to destruction. He sets them on the path of righteousness. He finds His people in hell, and he lifts them up into the highest glory of God's heavenly tabernacle. He comes into the death of his people, and he goes through their death, and he takes them with them, bringing them into the glorious life of his resurrection. He saves. He saves. He enlightens our minds, transforms our hearts, and he saves. He saves his people by the blood of the cross, by the power of his resurrection, by the grace of his good spirit. He conquers all the powers of darkness. Jesus, that little baby boy, born on Christmas Day, that's what he will do. That's what he has done. And to you this morning, congregation, people of God, I say, this is what he has done for you. For whom is Jesus the Savior? What does the text say? For unto you. How blessed that news must have been to the ears of these shepherds. Poor, dirty sinners. For unto you. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Oh yes, verse 10 says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Have no misunderstanding. Jesus isn't just coming to save a few lowly shepherds watching their flocks in Bethlehem. But Jesus has come to save all people. People from all different nations, tongues, and tribes of the earth. But unto you, believing shepherds, unto you who believe, who are the elect of God, waiting for that seed of the woman to come, unto you whom God has predestined for glory, unto you is this good news. You are his people, and he shall save his people from their sins. To you, people of God, this morning, to you who know you are sinners, who have nothing of yourselves, who have a broken and contrite spirit, who, like the shepherds, know yourselves to be poor and dirty, fearful over your sins, fear not. Unto you a Savior is born. And why is he born in a manger? Why work these events just this way so that he's born in such a lowly position, wrapped up in the rags of poverty? Exactly because he came for you. Because he came for you. And he took your place. For your sakes, he became poor. So that you, poor people, me included, that we might through his poverty be made rich. This is good tidings. This is reason for joy. This is the glorious gospel that brings great joy. Joy, joy, joy. How great our joy. What is joy? Joy is knowing the sovereign love of God. Joy is knowing God loves you. Joy is the inward happiness that comes from knowing your sins are forgiven. Justly, for the sake of Jesus Christ, you no longer have to fear the judgment or wrath of God. This is the joy that God in Christ gives to us. This is the joy that the shepherds heard when they received the news. Your sins are forgiven, beloved. You have peace with God. God looks upon you through this infant child. God looks upon you as holy and acceptable and precious. Is that your joy, beloved? This is the season of Christmas, full of festivities, full of mirth. Is this your joy? To you is born on this day the joy of your salvation. I have been sent this morning by Jesus Christ through his church to announce the glad tidings of great joy. Just as God sent the angel to the shepherds to share with them this news, so God sends the minister this morning to send the good news to God's people. To you, beloved congregation, is this word spoken. To you is preached the good tidings of great joy. You have a Savior. The Savior has come. the answer to all your fears, the solution to all your sorrows, who brings healing in His wings, who came to redeem you from all your sin. He has done it, beloved. He died for our sins, and He was raised for our justification on account of, because His death took away all our sins. Even now, this infant babe whose birth we celebrate, even now this infant babe is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ruling over all things for your sakes, for your salvation, because He's your Savior. And that infant child now sitting at the right hand of God, He will come again to judge the quick and the dead. And He is the one who will judge you as righteous in Him. And He will say, come, enter into the joy of your Lord. And He will bring you to that full realization of salvation. He is the one who has preached unto you this morning. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Believe it, beloved. Take it. Believe it. And believing, be filled with joy. Be filled with joy this Christmas day. And believing, let us worship. Let us worship the King. Let us give praise to the God of our salvation. Let us glorify and praise God for all the things that we have heard and that we have seen by faith this morning. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, our Father, Thou art the God of good news. Thou art the God of the gospel. This is Thy gospel, the gospel of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, Thy power unto salvation. Bless this preaching to our hearts that we might know and experience the joy of Christmas. And we might know we have nothing to fear, for the Savior has come, and He has finished the work that Thou hast sent Him to carry out. Dismiss us with Thy blessing this morning. Give us a day of joy, and cause us to live every day out of the joy of the salvation Thou hast given us in Christ. We pray that we might also not be ashamed of that joy, but share it with all whom we come across, to the praise of Thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.